Hey guys, welcome back to the Hippie Dyslexic Homestead. So today I'm working out in the garden and I get this question. Are homesteaders preppers or are they the same or are they different? So I thought I'd just talk about that today. So are homesteaders preppers or are preppers homesteaders? It's kind of a yes and no question. So I think there was I heard something or read something and it said something like, all homesteaders are preppers, but not all preppers are homesteaders. So why would that be? I think it goes back to homesteading. You have this want of self-sustainability in some way or another. You want to provide your own food. Maybe you're off grid. You don't want to be connected to the electric grid or even to the water sources like city water. You just want to be out, I guess, of the main world, right? You're trying to learn skills. I mean, there's a lot of skills when it comes to homesteading. When you homestead, you not only do you have to learn to garden, animal care, you have to learn to build, how to fix things. Of course, you could always hire somebody, but a lot of homesteaders, you know, maybe they want to learn some skills and maybe they hire some and they do it all. They want to learn all these skills because things go wrong. Things get broke and you have to fix them. So in that aspect, I would say homesteaders are in a lot of ways preppers. So we talked about prepping, and another episode. And, you know, there's a variety of reasons you prep. So I think a lot of people who think of preppers, you think of like the atomic bomb shelters dug underground and, you know, completely like outside of society. And while that can be considered definitely a prepper, that's definitely not a homesteader, if that makes sense. Homestead is more of, I don't know, I feel like it's going back to our roots, right? Like up until modern American abilities, and you'll see this throughout a lot of the world, is people have land. They make things for themselves. They are reliant upon themselves. They don't have to go to the store every single day for every single thing. And that's how it used to be. And then the Industrial Revolution kind of changed that. And really up until like the 50s, 60s, that's where you see this really big modernization of push. And I think that's where a lot of people just was like, getting away from that. You know, you look into like the 70s, 80s, people are leaving their homesteads, farms, and they're moving to the cities. And, you know, there's like this huge push in that aspect and this lost art of growing your own food, of knowing your own food and preserving your own food is definitely lost for definitely my generation for the most part. And in the newer generation, I mean, I have talked to kids who honestly did not know where their food came from. Like they didn't understand that it did not come from a supermarket. Like where does that meat come from? You know, I've been told how horrible I am for eating meat. And I said, well, don't you eat meat? You know, and because it was talking about more of a holistic meat, a wild game and things like that. And they said, well, yeah, I get mine from the grocery store. And I'm like, where do you think that meat comes from? And they couldn't think past the grocery store. Well, it just comes from the grocery store. And they didn't understand that that meat is an animal. And so we see this big push of vegetarian and veganism, which I'm totally fine with. I was a vegetarian for years. If I could, I would probably be a vegetarian if my body let me. I get really sick every time I do. But they don't understand what that all means. Like they just say, oh, you're killing an animal, but yet they don't understand, a lot of kids don't understand like that meat from the grocery store is meat that someone has raised. And unfortunately, CAFOs, which are factory farms, those are horrendous. They are the worst type of animal care you could get. Like if I want to eat an animal, I don't want it to be tortured until it dies. I want it to live a healthy life. And I don't even like the idea of killing animals. And you know, we forget, like we need to be giving thanks to the animal and, you know, thank God for providing the animal. But it shouldn't be basically tortured and only used for one thing. most people who have homesteads, they're not like that. They're raising healthy animals that live their life, that are loved and cared for. And so you're not getting a lot of that, you know, I don't know. I always say that you can kind of like the animal, when it's unhappy and it's sickly like that, it makes a sick person. And I think it's the same. Like when you raise an animal and it's a healthy animal, or I would prefer wild game, and they're living their life. And I mean, we all have to die, right? And I know this is probably like going off into like meat, and people are probably like, oh, I don't want to listen to this, but every single thing on this earth dies. It's sad, sad thing that a lot of people don't want to think about, including myself. But if something is going to die, I want it to be used for as much as possible. CAFO type of meat, they raise them up. They, you know, they don't even get to see fresh air. Even if it says pasture raised or whatever, that's not always true. So like, unless you're getting it from your farm or friend or your homesteading friend, what they say could not actually be true at all because of the legal things that allow for that. So your homestead allows for, and if you know the homesteader, if you're doing it, you get to see the animal, you get to see the health, and then you get to understand you don't want to use just part of it and then dispose of it. You really want to use the full animal. Like we save most of parts, you know, we do not just throw stuff out. We really do try to honor and use it all. And so when it comes to homestead, that's what I think the big difference is, where you're doing that, you're understanding it. And so yes, if things get really, really bad in the world, and yes, right now the economy is horrible and prices of food are just horrible. And so I tell everybody, just start a garden. It doesn't even have to be big. If you live in an apartment, you can start something. Like even if it's just lettuces and carrots on your balcony, whatever you have, whatever space, you can grow something. You can do this. And so with the economy and everything, I think homesteaders are going to be not exempt from it, because there are certain aspects that, you know, you have to go to the store for homesteading reasons. But I think it's not going to be as hard for the food part of it, at least. Now, preppers, so that's like in a way of a prepper. Now, a prepper that is not a homesteader, now they can live in the city, they can live in an apartment, they can just live anywhere. And their biggest things are going to be like bugging out or bugging in, and they're going to have like lots of food preps, like meals that are like dehydrated, kind of like MREs essentially. They're going to have plans and ideas. I mean, prepping goes to go really, really big. I mean, I'm not even going to sit here and try to name every single thing, but their prepping is going to look completely different than like a homestead. And so not all preppers are could be homesteaders, right? Because if they're an apartment and they have like all their MREs and they're just have their bag out bags and their plans and things like that, and they're, you know, working out and exercise, that's awesome. But they are not a homesteader. So therefore, a homesteader is more of a prepper than a prepper is a homesteader. If that makes any sense at all, I hope that clarifies some of those questions a little bit. And just because somebody lives out in the country doesn't mean that they're homesteaders either. I mean, a lot of people I know around us, they live out in the country, they have many, many acres, but they don't homestead. They have no animals, they have no garden, they just have, you know, they just have lots of land. So then there's that aspect of it too. Just because you live in the country doesn't necessarily mean you're a homesteader. Doesn't mean you have skills. You may just want lots of land and to hang out on your beautiful property. And that's fine too. But I mean, there's just different aspects to it. If you really want to try getting into foraging, even if you live in the city, go to state parks, go hiking, go learning. That would be another way that you could prepare for like these food prices right now. If you can understand how to eat certain food that you would not normally look at, like foraging, then that would, you know, be a way that you could help prepare yourself for what's going on now. And not everybody is like that. Not everybody cares. And that's fine too. I mean, if you have the ability to pay high prices and you have the ability to not let that affect you as much, then that's okay. But for a lot of us, we are kind of mindful of all of that. So anyways, that's kind of my, how I would explain difference in prepping and in homesteading. I hope you guys enjoyed this. Please be sure to give me a 5-star on your podcast radio, or if you're listening to Spotify or Apple Podcast, I would greatly appreciate it. I am definitely trying to expand my information, and definitely look at YouTube. I do have some foraging videos and some homesteading videos, chicken videos. I have Lucy, our pig videos. I'm still working on a lot of different things for homeschooling, and I'm super excited. Got lots of things coming out, and I'm really hoping to help educate you guys and help give you guys the information you need for, you know, this lifestyle or other information that will come along. So thank you guys so much for listening. You guys are awesome, and I appreciate it. You guys have a great day. Bye.